following takes place between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Hello, and welcome to Tech Access Weekly, a podcast of unspecified length concerning news and events in accessible technology. This is episode 93 for Wednesday, May 11th, 2011. Operation Irish. Now I said Wednesday. This time I said Wednesday.
Yes, you said Wednesday this time.
Yeah, but last time when we did this, I didn't say Wednesday.
Yeah, and but you they don't know this, you and they would have known a thing if you would have said that.
Oh, well. Whatever.
Yeah.
Who cares?
As you can tell, we're a top-notch podcasting crew.
Exactly. And I have to, you know, yell at him to focus all the time, and he has to keep me on saying the right date and day and make sure I say the beginning right every time. So, you know, somehow we make it work.
Somehow.
It has been a relatively slow week.
Until the last 2 days.
Until the last 2 days, yeah, with Google doing its I.O. thing and other interesting news that we'll get to later. It's been pretty slow, but we would like to start off with some listener mail. Last week, if you remember, we had a question about what happened to Noogle Noggles, and we didn't know, and we had a listener who responded and said that he has spoken to the company about who developed Noogle Noggles, and they replied that Google had changed something in their API that they distributed for people to develop applications for this, and they're working on a fix. So until that is done, there will be no updates for Noggles, and it is not in the iTunes store. But it will be when they fix whatever it is that Google broke or changed.
And apparently you can go to the maker's website and contact them through their customer support, and you can actually get on a list to be notified when it is available again.
Yeah. So thank you to the listener who told us that. And I believe it was Bill.
Yes.
Bill. And do we have any other listener mail?
I don't believe so. Did we?
We had the one about, we had one from Sarah. And she was talking about where she was on 9/11.
Oh, yes.
Because we asked where people were. And she was at the orthodontist office getting her braces adjusted. Wow. I remember those days. Of course, some people never had the experience. Those with lovely teeth, like this other person over here.
Yes. I am greatly blessed.
Actually, you are blessed. My teeth are terrible, and I had braces, and they didn't even work after 6 years.
Yeah, here's a tip for all of those unmarried people out there. When you actually get ready to get married to someone, check their teeth.
Well,
take them to a horse doctor or something, you know, and get their mouth open and check it out.
It's not like I have crowns or had a root canal or anything.
Crap's expensive.
I know it is. My teeth are just crooked and nasty on the bottom. Ugh.
Old insurance plan there with all the medical stuff for dental work.
I haven't hardly had to have any dental work.
I know, but when we first got married, it was like every week or two going to the dentist.
It was not. Okay, focus.
Okay, squirrel.
So anyway, that's where she was when 9/11 was going on. So people in the most unlikely places, and I'm sure we'll all remember it. You know, key event type of thing.
Yes.
And let's see.
We will mention that we will give a great thanks to the folks over at Cerotech who do the Cerotalk Tech Chats. They just had their Tech Chat 100.
Yay!
Where they discussed all sorts of different things. And they were giving away a copy of
DocuScan Plus.
And that is a $300 value from them. And they were looking for question number 21 on Twitter. And
guess who asked the question?
So, yay me.
Yeah, we haven't tried it yet.
No, we've got it set up and everything, but we just haven't had time to actually load it up and do any scanning and everything.
It was sort of creepy how it knew my computer's name and stuff. It just knew that. Because it sent me an email saying that this has been installed on the name of the computer rather than your computer or computer number such and such. It actually got its name.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting.
Oof.
So, I think a lot of people, I guess what they were doing was they were asking questions, having the audience, listeners, ask questions about Windows computers and different software.
What was the question you asked? I can't even remember.
I asked the simple question of what mail applications were people using? Because I know you hate the Windows Live Mail.
Oh, Windows crap and mail.
Everybody there was listening to, was using Outlook.
Ugh, I hate them both. They both have the virtual ribbons, and I hate those stupid things. I don't like ribbons. They both got it. I was using Windows Live Mail because it didn't have that, and now it's got it, so there's really no point in using, benefit.
I think Live Mail is just more clunky because it's not as polished as a desktop application.
Anyway, focus. Okay. Thank you to the Serotalk folks for the DocuScan.
Yes. Now, they could have sent one of those nice hover cams over with that. Yeah, but, you know.
Hover cam. That would have been nice, but.
What a jip.
I know. Tell me about it. Jip, 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 jip. Okay. Hey. Are we ready to actually get started with business?
Well, yeah. I guess we'll try to. We'll go through some things pretty quickly because there's not really a whole heck of a lot to say, or there's too much to say, and we haven't really had time to catch up on everything. But anyway, we'll start with the wonderful security things. Microsoft had a very light patch Tuesday yesterday. They sent out only two bulletins, which had three patches. Two were not really necessary, and then one was marked critical.
Yeah, the one critical update for Windows and two important updates for Office.
Yeah, it's for a name server service that is kind of used in networking, but it really hasn't been used in Windows probably since Windows XP or older. So it's kind of like it's critical, but it really wasn't that critical. Yeah. I don't know. It's something that's you'll hear it referred to as the WINS, WINS, name server configuration. Okay. But that's not even used hardly anymore. So why it was critical? I guess if someone's still using Windows 98, which there probably are still people out there doing that. A couple other ones were for the Office suite. There was a problem with PowerPoint where an application, where you could click on a PowerPoint slide presentation and it would all of a sudden give you malicious software.
Ew.
Executable on your system.
Ew.
If it was crafted properly.
Ew.
Not a good thing.
No.
So, in a update, the PlayStation Network is still down.
Yeah, the Sony's PlayStation Network has been down for 3 weeks now. People's names and addresses and possibly credit card information, although they're not sure about that, have been compromised. And now the epidemic, if you will, has spread to the Sony Online Entertainment website. So they're now having problems. They found a text file in the code somewhere that stated that the anonymous hacking group was responsible for this takedown, and Anonymous has denied this, although they say they make no claims for all of the members. So
yeah,
perhaps some members are acting on their own to do this.
There is a thought by the Anonymous group, whoever they may be out there, that they may have some rogue agents that decided to go afoul.
Even roguer?
Yeah. Is that a word?
No. Huh. But okay. I made it up, so it's a word now.
Okay, cool. Roger. So that saga continues on. No timetable for when it will be back up. So if you're buying new games for the PlayStation 3, you cannot play them.
If you're buying them online.
If you're buying them online or you buy games, because it has to actually authenticate that you're actually able to use it.
That's true, but if you put one of your games you already own in your PlayStation 3, you're fine. Yeah. But if you buy a new game, it still has to go out there and make
say,
sure
hello,
you
I'm
you.
Here, and I have a legitimate game and all that kind of stuff. So the cloud is a pain.
Yes.
I'll clean that up from the word I was about to use.
Good.
And another thing that came out yesterday, Facebook has been leaking information to third-party applications.
Apparently, this has been going on for years and years, and no one knew about it until Symantec pointed it out to them recently.
Seems that way. So basically, it means that if you allow any access to applications in Facebook, you know, one of those surveys, one of those stupid games, Farmville, and those kind of things, your information was being sent to them, or the writers of the application could actually retrieve information to the point that they would actually be able to write something on your wall. Now,
ew.
You might say, that's not really that big of a deal. Who cares? But if they were to craft a virus or something and say, hey, everybody, click this link, and it came from you, You know, they could be spreading a virus on that. They were saying that just recently there are 20 million apps installed in Facebook per day.
Holy crap.
Yeah, so there's like a little access token that is being passed back and forth between your account saying, yes, allow it.
Yeah, it's a little doohickey you have to...
Yeah, and once they've got it, they've got it.
Right.
The way that you can actually break the bond with the applications is to actually change your Facebook password. So if you are a Facebook user or you have people that you know using Facebook, you might want to recommend that they quickly move over to Facebook.com and change their password. If you are greatly interested in the security aspects of this, I would highly recommend downloading the Security Now podcast with Steve Gibson and Leo Laporte from Twit.tv. It's Security Now episode 300. So you may want to grab that from today to hear a little bit more about it.
I'll definitely grab that. I'm not subscribed to it anymore because he's so boring.
Yeah, they have their moments, but it's the subject matter.
Yeah.
So, in other news, last week we were talking about the Mac possibly actually being hit by viruses.
And lo and behold,
Skype has a bug in it.
Vulnerability. It is not present in the PC version.
No, but if you are running version 5 of the Mac Skype client, you need to be running 5.1.0.922 or greater. Just before this podcast, I checked the Skype.com download link, and it was pointing to 5.1.0.935. So if you are using a Mac and using Skype, you definitely want to go and update immediately to that. It is a vulnerability that allows someone to send you a message. And if you click a link or an attachment to a message that comes across in Skype, it could actually give that person control of your Macintosh computer.
Yes.
I guess they don't really call it the Macintosh anymore.
Mac. Well, there's no evidence. I don't think there's any evidence that people have been exploiting this, but it's something that someone found out by accident when he was playing around with it for work, I guess, and found out that that could actually happen if everything was done correctly. So
yeah, and he actually was able to write a script in order to prove that it does work. So update your Windows, update your Facebook passwords, wait on PlayStation 3 network to come back,
update Skype on the Mac.
Which, if anything is true about the Skype for Macintosh, everybody hates it. They really screwed the pooch on that when they updated recently with a new user interface. A lot of people are still using version 2.8 for the Mac instead of using 5.1.
Wow. Speaking of Skype, Microsoft,
who is known for being very secure,
yes, has purchased Skype for a whopping...
$8.6 billion.
Not million.
Billion
dollars.
Now you may go, oh dear Lord, I'm using Skype for everything. I communicate, I call. Well, Steve Ballmer at the press conference yesterday said that we are to be trusted. We're going to keep Skype running and everything. Mm-hmm. They're not looking at doing anything malicious to it. Mm-hmm. The questions now are being posed of what in the heck is Skype and Microsoft going to do together. Will Microsoft actually keep up the Linux and Mac versions of Skype? Nobody knows at this point. One speculation that I did hear today was that maybe Microsoft is wanting Skype so that they can sort of license it to Facebook.
Yeah.
So that Facebook would actually have embedded live chat.
That's ew.
So it would be like Chat Roulette.
Yes.
Without the perversions.
Yes.
Because it would be all of your friends, unless all of your friends are perverts.
Now, that was uncalled for.
Oh.
But, yeah, that's I understand.
Hey, just being real here.
That's true. Live chat.
Yeah, so what will they do with it? Don't know.
Can you imagine the load? Can you imagine the load on their servers if they did that?
Yeah.
It would be horrible.
I mean, the few times that I've used Facebook chat, it's always really slow and clunky.
I know.
It's unresponsive and everything.
But add maybe voice chat to that mix. That would be...
Yeah.
Oof.
I don't quite I don't quite know if that was going to work. But hey, it's got a better chance for Microsoft and Facebook to do that little bit of a deal than eBay that purchased Skype and then couldn't figure out what in the heck to do with it.
Yeah, that purchase was really strange.
I guess their thought was is that sellers and clients would actually be able to talk about the products.
Yeah, I mean, if I recall correctly, that's what they were saying. But people can talk about the products in any way they want.
I think people like eBay because it's more of a email text only. You don't really have direct contact with the person other than just messages and purchases.
Well, now, talking more about the cloud, this all is taking place in the cloud, along with the Amazon Cloud Player. Bad segue, but I don't care. We're moving on.
Yay, focus, squirrel.
So, the Amazon Cloud Player has launched. It is now working with iOS devices, where it wasn't before.
Yeah, evidently, if you go onto your iOS device, say the iPhone, iPod Touch, or iPad 2, or one, I guess it'll even work with that. So I guess we can just say iPad. Focus, focus, focus. You will now be able to go to the Amazon Cloud Player using Safari on the iOS device and actually go to it. You will be able to select all of your tracks that you would like for it to play, and voila, they will play. Apparently, from some articles, it says that it is a little flaky and it doesn't 100% work all the time. And you may encounter an error message saying that your device is not allowed to use this service, but then it will work anyway.
Just like iTunes always says that my computer is not authorized for iTunes, but it works anyway.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure about that. Plus, it occasionally, since 4.33 came out, it is telling me that my iTunes account...
password doesn't work.
Well, the password doesn't work, or the iTunes account is only a US-based, and it will transfer me to the correct store.
Yeah, I've gotten that one, too.
I don't get that.
I don't know.
Just don't make any sense.
Anyway, does the Cloud Player work with Android?
I believe so. They actually have an app for it, I believe.
They don't have an app for iOS, though, do they?
Not as of yet.
Okay. Well, the reason I mentioned Android is because Google is having its I.O. conference this week in San Francisco, and Android was the star of the conference.
Well, yeah. Android, Google, yeah.
Chrome.
Yesterday was pretty much the Android show. Just to give a few little highlights, Android 3.1 Honeycomb will be coming out soon. New updated version. It'll allow for movie rentals through a new service, as well as USB device support. Apparently, due to the fragmentation that Honeycomb is causing, because it is only available for tablets, Google is going to release Android Ice Cream Sandwich.
Oh.
So I is going to be Ice Cream Sandwich. Oh, I thought you were going to do it again.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go. that will be released in Q4 for phones, tablets, and TVs. So they're going to try and correct all of the Android fragmentation problems with different hardware specs with this one update.
Another thing that they're planning to do with Ice Cream Sandwich... is make it, move it into other devices other than tablets and phones.
Yeah,
and
it's bizarre.
They're trying to like integrate it somehow with your home stereo system.
Home stereos and other appliances. And appliances like your dishwasher and different things.
But they haven't really unveiled anything at this point, so we don't really know what's going on with that.
I didn't really see a lot of tech reporters reporting a lot on this. So it's kind of sketchy as to what it is, and I haven't had time to actually listen to the keynote from yesterday.
Oh, God.
But Android is also going to have an accessory developer kit, an ADK, where users can actually use the Arduino, A-R-D-U-I-N-O technology, which is like little handheld devices that you can program yourself. They're actually going to allow people to develop their own little accessories for Android. You might be able to actually develop your own remote or have your Android phone control the lighting system or something. I don't know. Hard to say.
And they're also thinking about introducing some kind of facial recognition technology. Again, hard to say, but that's what we were hearing.
Yeah, it's supposed to be kind of like the Microsoft Kinect that mm-hmm. they are having for the Xbox, which from people that I'm hearing use that, it's not all it's cracked up to be.
I'm hearing people like it or don't like it.
I hear they like it to start with, and then after that, they're starting to find that, you know, it's a lot of work to play a game and have to wave your arms and look like a complete idiot. I don't think yeah. it's quite there yet. They yeah. also, today, on day two, announced that they are coming out with Chromebooks.
And they were giving them away, too.
Yeah, yesterday they gave away a Android Galaxy 10.1-inch tablet to all of the attendees. Today they gave away a Chromebook, which is going to run the Chrome OS.
Mm.
These little laptops will be sporting the cloud browser operating system that Google is developing. They're also going to have a plan where apparently businesses will be able to purchase or lease these for $28 a month, which wow. gives them full access to technical support, which this is Google. What does that mean? Nobody's ever been able to actually contact them for technical support before, as far as like Google Voice or Google phones or anything like that. Students will be able to get it for $20 a month. Full service, you'll actually get hardware and software upgrades as they come out. One thing that was pointed out was that that's a lot of money if you're a school and you're trying to pay for each individual student.
Yeah, that is.
And then one caveat is that what happens if the computer program is cut in the budget? All of those students that have those Chromebooks are going to lose their computers.
Yep.
So I don't know how far that's going to go, but good shot at that.
Yeah, good shot.
So there was a lot of information around that. That just happened today, so I haven't really caught up a whole lot on that. Other than Angry Birds is coming to the Chrome browser that you can purchase in the App Store and use with your mouse to click and play.
I thought it was also coming to the regular web.
Well, that is the web, but you have to use the Chrome browser.
Well, what I meant was you could use any web browser. You have to use Chrome, though?
I believe you have to use Chrome.
Hmm. We just had a tip today on Chrome.
Why, yes.
Access with a screen reader. NVDA and JAWS comparison.
That's daily tip number 208 that you can find at techaccessweekly.com.
Yes. Not to be confused with Chrome Vox.
What the Vox are you talking about?
Well, that's kind of what I'm saying. Apparently, it is a screen reader that Google has designed to work with Chrome and the Chrome OS. I don't know of a way to test it with the Chrome OS, obviously. But if anyone has tested it with the Chrome browser, let me know what you think. I have not tried to download it and test it. I have no pricing information on it whatsoever. I think it's free, but I don't 100% know. There is a link in our, you know, show notes on Delicious if you want to go look at it.
Yeah.
And you would read information on it.
You would probably have to have Chrome OS running on a netbook or something in order to try that. Or in a virtual machine type thing, yeah. I would assume.
I haven't really checked out
the Chrome OS.
No.
So not really tremendously familiar with it because everybody says, it's a joke.
Speaking of Google and Android and voices.
Aren't we done yet?
No, unfortunately, but we're almost there.
Oh, okay.
The Ivona, makers of the Ivona text-to-speech voices, were talking about pushing their voices onto the Android platform as an app that people can download so they can have their Ivona voices instead of whatever Spiel and TalkBack and Code Factory use. So that has been rolled out this week. I think it's called the Ivona, I-V-O-N-A, HQ Voices app, HQ Voices. And it's currently in beta. It is, you can get at least one voice free while it's in the beta stage. I think they gave September 1st as a deadline. But you can try it out for free, and I'm not sure of the final price point at this point for that.
Aha. Uh-huh.
But if you want relatively okay voices for your Android phone, it'd be worthwhile to check out. I'm not really a fan of Ivona's voices, but they're good. They're just not, in my opinion, nothing compares to NeoSpeech.
Yeah, I have to say that Julie is pretty
Yeah.
Unique.
She's the best.
As far as inflection.
As far as inflection goes, the best concatenated speech that I've heard. And Kate and Paul are still pretty good, too. So.
And I guess they've come out with a Sally, or they are coming out with a Sally that's like a younger sounding voice, like a teenager or young adult.
Whoa, that goes along with Ivona's Joey, man.
Whoa.
He sounds like he's stoned and in high school.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to go back to Blossom there for a moment.
That's okay. I understand.
Whoa.
Okay, that's enough.
Okay.
She's Amy Farrah Fowler now, so you can't do that anymore.
Okay.
Okay.
Whoa.
Focus. Mm. Anyway, yeah, I kind of have heard about that. I wish they'd come out with another male. Like, I'd like to see him come out with male, female, male, female. I think male voices are harder to make. I don't know.
Yeah, because in the Sarah Talk daily podcast, bi-weekly podcast, they were saying that to them it seemed like the men's voices were always kind of blah. There's not really a lot of inflection to it, and the ladies' voices are a little bit more into it.
Yeah, NeoSpeech Paul, though, he's got a lot of inflection for a male voice, but for other speech synthesizers, like I'm thinking of the Nuance ones, the male voices are kind of crappy. The female ones aren't really much better, but they do have more inflection in them than the male ones do. They don't sound quite as artificial.
Yeah.
Okay, we're done with that now.
All right. And now, an update on HumanWare.
Yes, HumanWare is revamping its line of Victor Reader Classic CD players, used primarily for playing DAISY books that are on a hard disk, like a CD, and a data disk. They are revamping that, and it is going to be called the Victor Reader Stratus. It's going to include the Acapella Voice TTS, which is, they're fantastic. They're great voices. Also new, more advanced, I guess, feature set. And perhaps future 3G support. I have no details on prices or really many more specs than that.
Yeah, that article came from blindbargains.com.
Right, but I even went to HumanWare and looked around, and there's not really much information. It will apparently play data DVDs as well as regular data CDs.
Yeah.
But that's about all I know.
So maybe 3G service is going to allow you to download content
while
on the go.
Maybe. Although, will it write it to the CD?
Yeah.
That's what I don't understand.
Maybe they're going to turn it into a streaming player of some sort.
That was my next thought. Maybe they were going to somehow stream the content, like Bookshare?
Yeah. Or
something?
Or are they going to have like a contract for it? You know, what's that going to cost on top of everybody's cell phones and all that?
Yeah.
A lot of questions.
A lot of questions there.
But hopefully we'll find out more soon.
Speaking of mobile networks, there is a new app for the iPhone, and I'm sort of curious about why this app is so interesting. It is called iBraille, and it is for the iPhone and iPad. And you can type a message in, and it will appear in Braille. Or you can type messages in Braille. They've got like six buttons that you can press and raise up on, and it will type Braille characters in the field. It actually does work. I played with it, but I don't see what the fascination is.
I don't know, other than if it's like for someone like me who does not know Braille, and I want to do something in Braille, or figure out if something is correct in Braille, I could type a sentence or something in and then see the Braille.
That's true, but I don't understand why you would,
Or if you want to learn Braille and you want to test making Braille, you can actually type it in using the Braille keys and then actually see if you are correct.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out what those buttons did because they don't say this is key 1 or 2 or 3 or button 4, 5 or 6. They just sort of are randomly there.
Well, they're like up and down. It's a two column and you have the three Braille dots.
But when you're in VoiceOver, it doesn't read them that way.
Yeah.
It reads them like straight across and you have to figure out which one does what.
Hmm.
So I just kept selecting them and looking at the top where the little box was, and it would tell me it was either a Q or a P, so I knew that the 5 button wasn't selected when it was a P.
Yeah, and you were saying that this had been getting a lot on Twitter?
Yeah, I was seeing a lot of tweets about it. I don't know whether it was people just retweeting the Zeitgeist initial tweet about it, because it's made by Zeitgeist Games, and just tweeting it around and passing it around. Okay, whatever. I'm glad it was free. I would not have paid for it.
Yeah.
Type of thing. And if you're sighted and you want to write a message to a blind person in Braille, because that was the advertisement they were giving it, you could, I suppose, but it wouldn't read, they wouldn't be able to read the Braille because it's a graphic.
Yeah.
And it's not like they have anything on the iPhone where you can just touch it and the dots will be there.
I'm not sure. I think we're missing something.
We must be missing something. We've got to be missing something.
Because it didn't look like it was that complex of a application for the iPhone. But
no.
You can download it from the iTunes store for free.
iBraille. And one little science story that's a little bit wacky before we get into our real strange news. One woman... 18 months ago, 58 years old or 56 or somewhere like that, 18 months ago, she had oral surgery. She's from Oregon, has lived in Oregon her whole life, but when she woke up from her surgery, she spoke with an Irish accent.
Now,
and she continues to speak with an Irish accent.
Now that's oral surgery, O-R-A-L.
Yes, like
mouth
and throat surgery.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, what exactly she had done, we're not sure. What exactly this is, we're not really sure either. Doctors have talked with her and tried to diagnose her and think she suffers from something called foreign accent syndrome. And this occurs sometimes in people who have brain surgery.
Huh.
Now, how do you know, how does your brain know to speak in that different way? You had to have heard it at some point in your life, probably, or else your brain wouldn't know how to do it.
Maybe it's a slight tweak.
But I wonder if the people who speak in these foreign ways after these surgeries know, I mean, have ever heard the accents in which they're speaking.
I doubt it.
You don't think so?
No.
But otherwise, how would your brain know to speak that way?
Well, it's kind of like when they show people having surgeries or something, they can hit a certain portion of the brain and it will stop them from talking or they won't be able to actually pronounce words and things.
That's different, though, than having an accent.
Or they can't remember people's names or things while they're doing the surgery.
I'm perfectly aware of that, but that's different from, like, having an accent. Isn't an accent something you have to learn? I don't know. Anyway.
I don't know. Good question. If anybody knows, please let us know. What were you thinking?
A company in Finland has developed a machine. The machine apocalypse can wait, though, because this is a robot designed to play Angry Birds against a human opponent.
See, you have the what were you thinking here. I'm just thinking, why not?
Well, isn't it just really stupid? What's the point?
It's a robot to play Angry Birds.
But it's stupid. Why would you even want to waste time and money building something like that?
Because you can.
But that still isn't right.
And everybody will sit there and go, wow.
It's stupid. Why would you even want to? What kind of possible practical application could that serve?
I don't know. Why build a supercomputer to play chess?
Well, that was at least testing a computer's powers of judgment and reasoning and how fast they could go.
Well, that's what this is doing.
This is doing the same thing because the robot is competing against a person.
It's basically having an arm. It has an arm that actually positions the little pointer on the tablet screen and executes it just like a regular finger.
Did you watch the video to
see
who
won? Yeah,
I saw
the video. That's kind of what it did, but it really didn't say
you didn't
or
see who
do
won?
A whole heck of a lot.
Oh, okay.
But it was just showing that the actual robot hand was actually able to play Angry Birds and kill the pigs.
That is the stupidest thing I have ever heard. One of them, anyway.
Uh-huh.
There were a couple of what were you thinkings that we thought about, but they were a wee bit too disturbing for this podcast.
Yes. So
look at the website. You will figure out which ones they are. Anyway.
A couple were quite disturbing.
Ooh. On that note, this chaos that you have been listening to.
One of these days we're going to get a thesaurus so we can come up with more words to use at the end.
I know. See, we need Bill O'Reilly's thing. You know, he always has those words.
Yeah. Don't be a bloater.
A nettish. Not a radish, a nettish.
Yeah.
This chaos that you've been listening to is Tech Access Weekly episode
93.
You can find the stories we considered for this episode at delicious.com/techaccess/93 to get in touch with us by email, voice, or Twitter with any comments, suggestions, and all of that you may have. Please listen to the end of this podcast for the info.
Why, yes.
And we will continue to roll out the Tech Access Daily Tips. Please let us know of any tips you'd like us to do, or if you'd like to do a tip for us. Let us know that, too, if you'd like to provide directions or if you'd like to provide your own recording, and we can get you set up to do either one of those things.
Yeah, because a lot of people have little tips and tricks that they do every day, and they're kind of like...
Everyone should know how to do this.
Exactly.
I learn stuff every day from listeners.
I know.
So
a lot of the things that you've done for tips are like, I just figured this out, and I need to tell somebody.
Yeah, I mean, I've just sit here and like play around, and whoa. I didn't know I could do that. And I've had Windows 7 for like 2 years, and this has been in my face the whole time, and I never knew. Whoa.
Exactly.
So, you know, we don't know everything. And, you know, between all of us, we can, you know, make something good here, and we can all learn from each other. So if you've got anything, no matter how simple and trivial, that you would like to share, let us know.
Yeah.
Does that sound too much like begging? Because I really don't mean it to sound like begging. I just...
No.
It really... I'm just continually amazed by how much stuff I just stumble upon.
I mean, people are constantly going to Apple Viz and putting in iPhone, iOS apps and things. You know, I mean, it's kind of the same thing. You know, you're kind of giving little tips to make things go a little bit faster that people might not know about. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. Anyway, whatever.
Plus, you can also check out the Stem Stumper review that we did last Friday, which was episode 205.
I'm still stuck on the same level I was stuck on last week.
Yeah, there are a few little tough choices there.
And I know you got past it somehow, but I'm not sure how you did it. And I don't think you really know how you did it.
Not especially, because if I'm sitting there and I do it again and again and again, I can get it once out of like five times and I'll do almost the exact same thing.
Yeah.
But I guess Sarah Talk.com will be having a tech chat on Thursday evening, the 12th of May at 9 p.m., and they will be having an interview with the creators of Stem Stumper. So you may want to check that out if you hear this before then.
Yay.
Otherwise, check out their feed for that if you're interested in how they came up with the idea for Stem Stumper. That can work for blind or non-blind folks.
Yeah, and I really do like that aspect of the game.
Yeah, and... If you are interested in the Melting Pot show, you can catch that on mushroomfm.com Sundays from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Yay.
Got to get the shameless plug in there.
Absolutely.
Something.
Absolutely. Yep. Thank you so much. You beat me to it. So anyways, with that said, we will simply say...
Bye-bye.
Bye. To contact the team for Tech Access Weekly, send an email to techaccessweekly@gmail.com. You may follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/TA_weekly. You may comment on our voice line at 260-2-ASK-TAW, 260-227-5829. To find a list of the stories covered in each episode, please visit delicious.com/techaccess. Feel free to visit our website at techaccessweekly.com.